So it's Titus chapter 2, and we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 10. You, however, must teach what is appropriate to sound doctrine. Teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Similarly, encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Teach slaves to be subject to their masters in everything, to try to please them, not to talk back to them, and not to steal from them, but to show that they can be fully trusted, so that in every way they will make the teaching about God, our Savior, attractive. Okay, we're going to finish reading just there, and let's pause to pray and ask for God's help as we look at his word this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that you've given us the Bible so that we can know your thoughts, we can know the very mind of God. And Lord, as we come to it this morning, help us to think in those terms that we want to hear your voice. We want to hear your opinion. We want to hear what you would have us do, how you'd have us live, and why we would do that. So Father, please speak to us. Please teach us, please change us by your Spirit as we're listening. Please help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. What do we do to make ourselves attractive? Maybe we have nice clothes. Maybe we have fancy jewelry. Really nice hairstyles. Maybe some exercise to keep ourselves in shape. We put effort in to make ourselves attractive, or maybe at least we used to. That we put that effort in to make ourselves attractive. Well, in the world of jewelry, it's important how a diamond or a jewel is displayed. The setting in which a diamond is put can actually work to enhance the beauty of the diamond. To really show it off, it makes the diamond even more attractive. You can really appreciate it. And without the right care or the right setting, well, the diamond might tarnish. Or the true beauty may not be appreciated. It may go unnoticed. Well, this morning we want to think about making the gospel diamond, that diamond that we've been given that's the good news about Jesus, thinking about making that attractive. The teaching about God our Savior, the true message about Jesus Christ, his life, his death, his resurrection, that's the gospel diamond that we've been given. And depending on what we do, we can make it so attractive, or we can let it tarnish and go unnoticed. Now, these verses are part of the section that some people have been trying to learn off by heart, so hopefully they'll be familiar to you. Hopefully these words will have been going round and round in your heads over the last couple of months. Because Paul is speaking very clearly and practically in these verses. He's speaking to Titus about how different groups of people are to act in a way that fits with sound doctrine. Look at verse 1. Paul is speaking to Titus. He says, "You, however, must teach what is appropriate or what's fitting or what fits with sound doctrine." Their behavior needs to fit what they've been given. Now, something fitting is very important, isn't it? I've started playing soccer again on Monday nights, and I had an old pair of boots that Grace had been trying to throw out for years. So I had to get new boots so that I could play. So I'm an online person, so I bought them online, but they didn't fit. I couldn't play because they were the wrong size for me, and I would have been useless. I would have looked ridiculous. I probably couldn't have run. So I had to get the right fit so that I could do what I needed to do. And it's that way of fitting that our behavior would fit the teaching that we have of the gospel. And it talks in these different categories, so let's jump straight in as we see, firstly, Paul is speaking to Titus about the older men. The older men are to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled. This sort of behavior is behavior that is fitting for an older man, that they would be an example to others, that they'd be a balanced person, someone who's got the right balance to work and to life, to work and rest, to friends and family, to leisure and exercise, to food and drink. They're temperate. They're balanced. They seem to have struck this right chord, not just in your actions, but in your manners as well. How you react is measured, controlled, balanced. The hot-headedness of youth needs to be replaced by the temperate nature befitting someone your age. And this sort of character in an older man commands respect. That if this is the way that someone lives, well, then they're worthy of respect. And as someone who may have seniority because of their age in a culture or society, will act in a way that commands respect and validates that position of seniority by your character. And older men, be self-controlled. Something that is emphasized throughout this passage. Again and again we see this issue of self-control coming up. Older men, hopefully you've had time to work on this. You've had time to discipline yourselves. Be self-controlled, and you can be an example to all those around you. Show discipline in your life. From the way that you go about your day-to-day life, how you read and pray, how you spend your money, how you react to temptation, be self-controlled. Be worthy of respect in how others see your life. What else does he say to the older men? Be sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Verse 2. You need to be healthy in these areas. This word sound, it's like healthiness. It's even got a matching word in where we get the word hygienic. That they will be healthy in faith, in love, endurance. Maybe at this older stage in life, health may be failing. Maybe you're in the grip of illness, or maybe you're just entering a phase where you're realizing, I'm not what I once was. But while physical health may be failing, you need to be sound. You need to be healthy in three key areas. In faith, how you trust God, how you follow His ways. In love, how you serve others, how you consider others' needs before your own. And in endurance, how you keep going in anticipation of the hope of the future. Be healthy in these areas. As the years increase, let your growth in this area grow and grow. Don't let yourself become sick and weary and unhealthy in these areas. You have to stay fit. Stay healthy when it comes to faith, love, and endurance. This is how you can make the gospel diamond attractive to those around you. As you live in these ways, older men, being temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, healthy and fit when it comes to faith and love and endurance, the gospel diamond would shine if you live like this. Paul quickly moves on to older women. Now, in each of these categories, I'll let you decide where you might fall. Or maybe you feel like you're in between or in both. But let the Lord speak to us as we hear his words written for us and how we might need to change. Likewise, verse 3, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Be reverent, older women. The first specific instruction given to the older women is they're to be reverent in the way they live. This word reverent could be translated befitting of something holy, or even like a priestess. This idea that the way you're to live is to match the fact that you've been made holy by God and have his Holy Spirit in you. Imagine the reverence in which a priest or a priestess would have conducted their work in a temple around this time in the first century. It would have been done with care, with thoughtfulness, with reverence, with awe in the task that they've been given. And this is the demeanor that Paul is asking of you older women, that they behave like the holy people that they are. A man called John Stott uses a more modern phrase that older women are to practice the presence of God. You're to be more and more aware that God is present with you, and allow that to permeate and affect your whole life and all that you do. An awareness that a holy God lives in you will help you to live a reverent and holy life for him. And in particular, that means not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine. This was behavior that was typical in Crete, where Titus was based, where Paul was writing to, and certainly is common in our society today. Malicious gossip and alcoholism. Smearing someone else's reputation, casting aspersions on someone, speaking falsely about someone. That's all too familiar in our society. And older women, you are to have nothing to do with that kind of behavior. Sadly, a recent report has named Irish women as the fourth highest female consumers of alcohol in the world. Gossip and alcohol abuse, two failings which are not to be found amongst you, older women. But instead of using your mouths for slander or wasting time being drunk, you are to teach what is good. Teaching and passing on what you have learned and experienced yourselves. But who are you to teach? Well, we can all learn from each other. Learning from the examples and wisdom of older women can't be isolated to one specific group. As we look on and see other people live their lives for the Lord, we will learn and be taught. As older women teach their children and perhaps their grandchildren. But here Paul has in mind the teaching of younger women. If you look at these verses, it's interesting that Paul instructs Titus. So who was there? He instructs Titus to teach the older men, to teach the older women, to teach the young men, to teach the slaves. But it's the older women who are to teach the younger women. There's an incredible role that you have, older women, to teach the younger women here. In fact, a role that goes beyond what Titus was told to do, that they need to work alongside a Titus, someone like him, in teaching and discipling and training the younger women. In verse 4, then they can urge the younger women. This idea of urging is like training. Training the younger women in how they're to go, in how they're to live. You occupy a vital role within the church to be the teachers of the next generation of women. Have you considered that to be a role of yours? A training, a teaching, a discipling role? Well, if you haven't, you should. How can you teach and disciple a younger woman? Can you think about ways that you can do this? Could you try to meet a younger woman from time to time? Maybe read the Bible with them. Just have coffee, chat about life, pray with them. Could you be involved in a group Bible study where younger women also attend? Can you informally chat with younger women Sunday to Sunday or in home group to encourage and to train them and to urge them in how they're to live? Younger women, can you think of an older woman who you could learn from? Is there an older woman you could go to read the Bible with, to learn from, to pray with? It's such a valuable process to be involved in this discipling or mentoring relationship where you're learning from someone who's older than you. Older women, maybe you could ask the Lord to put someone on your heart that you can come alongside them to train and encourage, because that's your role, to be teachers of the younger women. But what are they to teach? What are you to teach the younger women? Look at verse 4. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Younger women, this is a calling to you. To love your husbands if you're married. To love your children if you have them. A calling as wives and mothers to love your husbands and your children. This may sound like an obvious thing to do, but it's so important. And it's a process that you grow in and can get better at. This is how you can make the gospel attractive. That you exemplify what it means to be a loving wife. A loving mother displays to the world the gospel diamond for what it is. The beauty of the gospel. Being sacrificial with your time and resources for the sake of your family. Your husband and children. Husbands are certainly to do the same. But here it's younger women being urged to love their husbands and children. Maybe you're not married. Maybe you don't have children. But there's so much we can learn from what Paul continues to say. The way that we treat others. Look at verse 5. Be self-controlled and pure. Being self-controlled is not only for the older men, or for the young men, as we'll see, but also for the younger women. You're to be self-controlled and pure, resisting temptation that will come your way. Just as the older men and young men to come, younger women are to be self-controlled and pure, committed to being disciplined in your lifestyle. What you decide to do from day to day, the decisions that you make when you're with people, when you're on your own, the actions that you take, seeking to be pure and holy just as God is holy. When you hear something bad about someone else, that it's not passed along in this gossip sort of way. when the temptation to be silent with a friend, to not speak with them, to be angry with someone for something they've said. Be self-controlled and pure. This is how you can make the gospel message so appealing to those around you. What else does Paul say? Younger women are to be busy at home. What does that mean? Now, this is a very literal translation of a phrase, to literally be busy at home. But what Paul is wanting to convey is that the younger women would be those that take care of their homes. The homes that you're in that you would love and care and serve in those places. Not neglect the responsibilities that you have, maybe to a family member, maybe to a husband, maybe to a child. And it's certainly not a command for a woman to be a stay-at-home mom. It's not a prohibition from a professional career. But again, this man Stott explains that what is rather affirmed is that if a woman accepts the vocation of marriage and has a husband and children, she will love and not neglect them. This phrase, home lovers, will help to sum up what Paul is meaning. They love their home. They care for those within their responsibility, their family, their immediate, their extended, that they're caring for their home. Younger women, you're to be kind. Not too much needs to be said about that, because it's how we behave toward others. Be kind. Be kind in your demeanor and approach, in your speech, in your actions with others. Be kind. Paul goes on to say, be subject to your husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. Now, this isn't in any way to suggest any notion of inferiority of the wife to a husband, but rather it's representing the created order that God has established within a family, the order to be followed. A husband has a role, a wife has a role. They're of equal value to each other, both as vital in the family unit, but they're different roles within the family. God has put in place what we see sometimes called male headship in a family, not to rule or to demand obedience, but a husband is one who is responsible for and would sacrificially love his wife and family. That's the context in which a wife would be subject to a husband. That they would fulfill the role that God has called them to. And the purpose of living within this created order is so that anyone looking on wouldn't malign the word of God. They wouldn't speak badly about the word of God. By living in this way as husband and wife, God's word wouldn't be brought under scrutiny or rejected even as a misogynist approach. But when people see how this works, how Christian marriage gets worked out, it would actually be made so appealing and so attractive to people that as healthy marriages are on display to the world around, people would say, I want that. That's the sort of relationship that I crave and I desire. God was the one who invented marriage. So when we do things his way, it's attractive. People would see it and want it. That's how we can hold that gospel diamond. Younger women, do these things to hold that gospel diamond out, to show how beautiful it really is. Young men, verse 6. What is to be said to the young men? Only one command is given. Be self-controlled. Is there anything more fitting for a young man to hear? Be self-controlled. Be self-controlled in the way that you speak, holding your tongue or speaking in love to others. Be thoughtful about your actions, measured and disciplined. Think about what you want to do. Don't be taken in by the temptation that arrives in the moment just because it feels good. Be self-controlled. Be self-controlled with the things that you watch, with the thoughts that you think, the music that you listen to, what you eat, what you drink. Be self-controlled. Because this is how you make the gospel diamond shine so brightly. Being self-controlled has such value. It demonstrates to the world the value that you place in the gospel. When you show how committed you are to following the Lord, people see the value that you place. Think of an athlete who commits himself, who's self-controlled every day to get up maybe before work to train, to go to the gym, to go for a run, to eat a diet that's healthy so that when he competes, he can win the prize and you can see the value that he places on that prize. Be self-controlled. But this takes work, doesn't it? And it also takes a godly example. Look at verse 7 and 8. Now Paul is speaking directly to Titus. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Titus now himself is being commanded to be an example for the young men by doing what is good. Young men, look for examples around you. Look for a Titus, someone leading by example, and follow what they do. Like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. Look for those who are leading by example. Titus was commanded to show integrity, seriousness, soundness of speech through his teaching, and so that opponents would have nothing bad to say about them. Titus' teaching and behavior was to make sure there was no case to be had against them. In fact, any opponent would only be ashamed because actually there was only good found in Titus's behavior. Look for examples like this. Follow them. We need examples in our lives so that we can learn and grow ourselves. And finally, we come to slaves. Paul commands Titus to teach slaves to be subject to their masters. In verse 9 and verse 10, we see this teaching. Paul is giving instruction for how followers of Jesus were to conduct themselves within the societal roles that they were in. And you know, slavery has both a positive and negative image in the New Testament. At this time, a free person, a free citizen in the first century, could willingly pledge themselves as a slave to pay off a debt. They could voluntarily become a slave. While also someone could simply have been sold or bought as a commodity, which we see in the awful slave trade, which thankfully is no more. We're described as slaves to sin in the New Testament, because we don't have freedom. But yet we're also described as being slaves to Christ. When we are set free from sin, we pledge ourselves to him. So Paul's teaching here is that not that he's trying to abolish slavery, but he's instructing slaves on how to be Christ-like in their circumstances. Slaves were to obey their masters to try and please them. Not to talk back to them, not to steal from them, but to show that they could be trusted. And this was so that they would make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. The way that slaves behaved themselves within their master's house would demonstrate how attractive the gospel is. One way that we can relate in application for us today is for anyone who is an employee. Being Christ-like employees, we make the message about God inviting to others. That if you're an employee, you need to seek to try and please your boss or your manager, not to steal from them, maybe things or time, but we must show that we can be fully trusted. We need to be known for our work ethic, our trustworthy nature, because we are Christians, because we follow Jesus. And that's how we can hold out that gospel diamond to let it shine so brightly. The way we interact with our colleagues, having a positive attitude toward a new task you've been assigned, being given slightly more to do than someone else, being missed over for that promotion, not talking back to superiors or behind colleagues' backs, or not slacking off when no one's watching. As Christians, we can actually observe the environment we're in. We can even see maybe the funny side to an office environment, to a work environment, to our colleagues' behavior. We can analyze and think about it. We can see through the motives of our colleagues or boss, but yet still act with integrity, respect, and healthy ambition. Every day at work offers ways to make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. So, will we seek to make the beautiful gospel diamond that we've been given? Will we seek to make it beautiful and shine in the way that we set it and display it and care for it? Or will we let it tarnish and go unnoticed? We make the gospel message so attractive and appealing by living lives that fit with this sound teaching. We have our part to play in showing off the gospel, making it enticing and inviting to those around us. So let's get to work in making the gospel attractive, that people around would see it, that they'd experience it and would want to know more and come to believe in the gospel message for themselves. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this passage that you have given to us. And Lord, there's so much practical instruction there for us, for different groups of people. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to each one of us, where we might fit, things we would hear from this passage that you would teach us and help us in these ways. Most of all, Lord, we pray for help, that you would make the gospel diamond you've given to us shine so brightly, that we would make it so attractive. We wouldn't let it go unnoticed and tarnish and dusty. But Lord, we would care for it in such a way that we would set it before people, that we would make the message about you so appealing and enticing to people that they would be dying to hear about this man Jesus. So Lord, help us with that in this week to come. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.